It's here. Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry. Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
I've got it all set up now, Manny. I believe so. Let me see if Yes, my Stream Deck is working. We've got pretty much nothing but DC to talk about today. And man, do we have a lot to go over. So screw it. Welcome everybody to the usually daily cup of genre. Somebody decided to get sick and can't get over it, so we have it. No, I'm joking. There's a lot of things going on. But yeah, welcome to the show here on the Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from, and of course the Genreverse YouTube channel. Hit subscribe, follow, leave some thumbs up and reviews and all that good stuff. Part of the big LRMonline.com family. Go there every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. And of course, we're sponsored by the good folks over at Grow Generation. I am Kyle, at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. That's Manny, at Manny Gomez Media on Twitter. Welcome back, bud.
It's nice to be doing normal things again.
Yeah, I bet. Although I don't think you thought you would be discussing what we're going to be discussing today. Batgirl, a movie well into its production, looking to have been released on HBO Max next year, if I'm not mistaken.
It's in post-production.
Yeah, it's not in post-production anymore.
Not anymore.
It's canceled, man. Yeah, apparently it's not that it's a bad movie, but apparently it did have poor test screenings. It really comes down to what new owners new leadership for Warner Brothers Discovery. And they basically looked at it and said, you know, if it did suck, it wouldn't draw any subscribers and it might not make money back in theaters, so let's not release it and write it off as a loss and at least get tax benefits from it. Oh my god, man, what do you think about this Batgirl situation?
It's a horrible precedent, and I understand kind of the business side of it. Mm-hmm. It does hurt though to see somebody's project that they've worked on for years be treated as zeros and ones, instead of, you know, art as it is, whether you think it was good or bad, or whether mm-hmm. it fits your direction or not. It's a really bad taste as far as what you know, what some characters necessarily mean to the whole scope of thing, because I mean, just remember there was a time and a place when DC was really thriving, despite the fact that the movies necessarily weren't the greatest. I mean, yeah, we had Wonder Woman and Aquaman wasn't too bad. If you talk to Jammer, he's going to tell you that some of the some of those
BVS directors thing was good.
You're
wrong, Janet.
It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great either.
Yeah,
but I mean, I think my thing is, you take a movie like this, and speculation is, yeah, you know, Blue Beetle's not far behind, which makes me really sad. Justice League Dark and stuff like that. It really devalues what they really think of as a blockbuster character, and what they think of as worthy to be out in media. We just want the Batmans, the Supermans. What I think that they had been doing very well is giving us this wide range scope of characters, whether it was on the CW, whether it was on HBO, whether it was even sometimes on NBC or you know, wherever they were releasing things, we had Supergirl, Constantine, Legends of Tomorrow, Flash, mm-hmm. Swamp Thing, Doom Patrol, Titans. These and a lot of times my point is these are characters that are never going to make the big screen.
Yeah.
And for a fan of DC Comics, for a fan of DC properties, it was nice to at least to be able to see them in some medium whatsoever. And now I feel
something's
like
something's better than nothing.
Yeah. And to some degree, some of the TV shows were pretty good. You know, they did really well. I thought Swamp Thing was amazing, but that's when they had changed companies again. And then mm-hmm. they decided that that's not the direction that they wanted to go. And I mean, they've sold what, 2 or 3 times already in these last decade. So,
yeah, I mean, kind of, sort of, definitely a lot of shakeups.
Yeah.
A lot of shakeups.
So many. And so like this kind of stuff is to be expected. And yeah, as fans, I think we have the right to be upset. But at the same time, you know, I get it. You have to, before you start a new Lego project, you have to deconstruct the other one unless you have room for it on your mantle, which obviously they don't. Mm-hmm. So
it's a good way to put it.
So it sucks. It sucks. And I think it's just, I think a lot of the frustration with people, including me, is not necessarily the project particularly, which I mean, yes, there is, you know, we want to see it, but also it just keeps happening to us, man.
Yeah.
I mean, meanwhile, on the other side of the pond, it's a well-oiled machine that
the oil scene needs to probably be changed.
But well, okay. Like, yeah. What I'm saying is that what I'm saying is that they have direction. They know what they're doing for the next decade, and they're confident enough to let us all know. And for the most part, I mean. When they announce their lineup, it doesn't change. This is what it is, and you know this is what we're doing. Do I feel like they're having issues with quality now? I do. I really do. But that's not the point. The point is they have a plan, and they're giving us television shows, animated shows, crossover shows, everything, and we're good. And I feel like. DC hasn't done that in a while.
Yeah, it's both sad and kind of scary because what else are, like you said, besides the Blue Beetle aspect, what else could they potentially be willing to cut? And yeah, you do have to think about the artists to a degree. You got to think about everyone involved in making it. Stars even that are looking to get a bigger break if they haven't already had a big break, you know. And at the same time, though, you can't get those opportunities. You can't make those movies. You can't get that type of stuff out if you're not making money off of it, and you can't take losses. And I hear people online all the time saying, oh well, you know, the execs don't need this big pay. I got that, but that's not going to change. You're not going to see any. It's like the same thing when people are like, oh, if not to get political, but for a similar argument, you raise taxes, companies pass that on to consumers, and people are like, well, the companies don't have to raise prices. You're right. They don't have to. Just like the Warner Brothers Discovery execs don't have to take a big paycheck, but barring some sort of legislation, they're going to take their big paychecks over the movies. And that's business, guys. You don't have to like it, but tell me what, and not just kind of, you know, rhetorical, tell me how that changes, how it doesn't. It just doesn't.
And the thing about it is also, it's just, I get it. Like, their paycheck has nothing to do with the budget that they have set for certain properties or for certain things. I mean, things were going to always have to go. Heck, once they bought each other, it was only a matter of time before we knew that those streaming services were going to come together. What, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it, like, I hate thinking of it this way, but because it doesn't make me less upset, but it's just business. It's just you got to be also financially responsible to your stockholders and you know, to everyone you have to answer to, because I'm sure they knew that this kind of backlash was going to happen. With, you know, they still have to make the decisions, and this is probably the reason why people like you and I don't run these companies, because we would say, you know, screw it, we're going to put it out, and then we would get, you know, a bill or something, or we'll look at the quarterly sheet and go, oh yeah, that we probably shouldn't have done that. But I think now what the important thing is they really got to do is they got to give fans something as far as a plan, as far as you know, some sort of direction, because I think that's what would calm a lot of people down, despite the fact that it's not going to change the fact that, you know, we're not going to have some projects that we were really looking forward to. I mean, Hal, do you remember how kind of satisfied people were? I don't know if you ever saw it, when Geoff Johns and Kevin Smith went on the CW for it was like a 30-45 minute special,
and they were announcing movies and shows
and everything, and just felt, you know, you're excited because you're gonna finally see the Green Lantern Corps at some point, you know, individual characters are finally gonna get their spotlight, and everything, and
none of it.
It's insane to think how much they've fallen, because these are some of the most elite comic book characters and properties in the, like, how do you not know what to do with Superman?
I was going to say,
I don't understand. You
know, when you know, Superman is one of those interesting things, because last week we got word that Batfleck, who we thought was going to potentially show up in person, but we knew that his suit and, like, at least a stunt double and his bike were on set of The Flash, but it was basically all but 100% said that would be the last appearance of Ben Affleck's Batman. But Aquaman Lost Kingdom, Aquaman 2, is gonna have the Batfleck in it, and that of course got a whole bunch of Zack Snyder fans, you know, kind of like, oh, well, maybe it will come back. I don't think so, guys. I don't think the data really supports that that's the money maker. But at the same time, I know a lot more people that are fans of Cavill's Supes than they are Affleck's Batman. And they're not doing anything with that. You know, I keep reading more and more reports about how their focus is on big movies in the theaters. And I think basically if it can't make a big draw at the theater, I don't think they want it anymore. There was a report from The Wrap, and Variety talked about it. And I'm actually bringing up a Looper article because they kind of talk about both. HBO Max is going to have some massive layoffs, up to 70%, according to some reports. And, they're saying that there's going to be a bigger line between scripted and unscripted. Report from The Wrap, quotes an anonymous insider saying everyone in Warner Brothers Discovery is nervous at the moment, and they're starting to look at alternative job options in case they get the axe. Sounds like they're not doing HBO Max scripted shows anymore with HBO taking over, so less scripted shows overall. That really, I mean, HBO Now had already existed, and that was to get, you know, people access to HBO material that had cut the cord. I don't necessarily think they're going to go, you know, some people are taking this as they're going to have two separate things again. That doesn't make sense, and neither does ignoring the digital realm and saying, hey, no, you'll have to get a TV subscription for HBO. I don't think that's what they're saying, but I do think you're going to see less time, money, and effort put into the scripted shows. I think they might even be going to primarily as a back catalog, and after things air on HBO a week or two behind, you know, like Hulu used to do something similar to that with some of their shows. You know, it would air one day and pop up a day later or something like that.
Ooh, that's what now I with everything.
What's that?
They do that now with everything.
I thought like What You Do in the Shadows came. What We Do in the Shadows came out same day. Either
it's
way,
either the same night or the next day that
they, something like that. But I see them doing more things like that. Hi puppy. I see them doing more things like that than just cutting it all out. But I don't know, man. What do you think about that situation with the whole gutting HBO, man? I mean, there are a lot of redundancies and things, but still, it's kind of creepy, isn't it?
Well, yeah. But, you know, what I've heard is really that HBO Max is going to cease to exist, really. And most of it is just actually going to go back to just HBO. Anything that's scripted and everything else will just go into that Discovery.
But how does that make any so what it have two separate services again?
Well, no, HBO has always been HBO.
I know, but they're not going to sit there and make us have, they're not going to cut out this many subscribers and say no, you have to go back and get DirecTV or Dish or cable in order to get our stuff. That's,
well, I mean, that's HBO dumb had business. HBO had it had an app already, had yeah, a streaming service on
that's what I just asked you. So would there be two separate services?
I believe there will.
That's an awful idea.
It's terrible, but I mean, to be fair, Disney has three apps and they're very distinct. They have ESPN Plus, they have Hulu, and they have Disney Plus.
Yeah, that is true. Does HBO have the, I guess. But
the thing is, HBO Max isn't even bad. That's the thing. They've had some very good success with some of their shows, mm-hmm. and some of their movies. And honestly, it was thanks to their streaming service that they're able to really still push some movies that weren't able to necessarily do too well in the theaters because of the time that they were released. Mortal Kombat is one of those movies that really did very well for them in order to continue now and go for a sequel. And then you have things like Peacemaker, which has been fantastic on there. And I mean, you can go on and on about, you know, everybody has it. It seems like they've lately had more success than a Netflix if they didn't have Stranger Things.
Yeah.
So I mean,
but then why even if there is some redundancy, wouldn't you just move a bunch of those people over into an office for the new, or, you know, rebranded, re-split? I honestly, I don't know. I really wonder. Before we take the ad break, let me put it this way. Discovery is a TV company, and for a while, Warner Brothers has been under a telecom company. They're more flexible. They got their fingers in a whole bunch of different pies, you know, trying different things. But Discovery is a more traditional television and entertainment industry, and I really think they're just looking at something I've always brought up, something you've talked about. Which is that, you know, streaming services do not provide for movies, at least, and even TV, when you talk about like differences in ad revenue versus subscription revenue, they don't make as much money. You know, I constantly tell people, your family of four going to the theater will give that movie more money than your subscription service, which is one price for four people in the house. I think they're looking at it like that with so many of the different reports talking about movies and theater and you know, could Batgirl work on theater or not. It all comes down to making money, and if you allow people the opportunity to wait for it to hit streaming, a lot of them will. And I think this is maybe that old school mentality coming in and saying, no, we need you guys to, you want this content, you got to pay for it. I think that's what's going on. What do you think?
Well, I mean, specifically for Batgirl, I understand that that could have never gone to theaters because the movies are already pushing $90 million as far as a budget. That doesn't include a marketing budget. That doesn't include theatrical mm-hmm. releases domestically or internationally. It's a whole another pie of money that would have to be added to it. So that I get why that doesn't make any sense. But I think that they think that, well, I mean, get they own what, the Travel Channel, Food Network, Discovery, yeah. And so yeah, they, I believe
science,
that they have that belief that traditional media works better than streaming, because of things like ad revenue. I really think that that's the case. I would say that Hulu proves me wrong because I mean, I have ads on Hulu, a lot of Hulu's ads that. Actually, I never even noticed it until it was a couple of days ago. They run like regular ads on television.
Yeah.
In between the shows, and I could care less, really. And so I think that they can do something like that. I mean, they already do it with a lot of things. It's frustrating because it seems like DC keeps going into the hands of people that are not in the comic book movie making business or the comic book property holding business. Hell,
we still hear they want to sell off the comic book line, like spin that out completely on its own.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you've known, there's something that the hashtag show had pointed out yesterday. The website had for years been known as dccomics.com. They just cut it down. It's now just dc.com.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And I think that's crap because you wouldn't have any of those properties without the comics. I mean, even the Twitter page also, their handle still says comics because I understand why you wouldn't change that, but their title is just DC. It's no longer DC Comics. And I mean, that's something that's been around for a long time. It just boggles my mind how unimportant some of these people think the comic books are, because where are you going to get your stories if not the pages of the comics? Infinity War is a comic. Secret Wars is a comic. I can just go on and on about different stories. Say what you want about BVS, but it was taken from like two or three different mm-hmm. fantastic stories. So like you can't, I feel like it, they're, the comic side of this is the one that hurts the most, is being cheated the most, because there's so many talented artists and writers across the decades that have put in so much time into telling these amazing stories that then get made into TV properties and movies that then just get pushed to the side like if they'd never matter.
We'll see, man. We'll see. I know one thing we need to do. Take a quick word from our sponsors. Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation offers the best deals and discounts on the best grow products on the market. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow. All right. Thank you, Grow Generation, for... Thank you for sponsoring the video as the episode as usual, guys. Link in the description box below. You know, continuing on with that whole future of HBO Max, Warner Brothers, Discovery conversation. Excuse me. There were a few movies that were removed. Hold on one second. Movies removed. Removed from. The service HBO Max, there was six of them. Oh, I just started the ad again. Sorry about that, guys. Bring up the side by side. You know what? I completely forgot, and I knew this would be a hard for me to do, but we've actually got the nice individual windows. Like, there's me only on screen, and there's Manny only on screen, but it's hard for me to do the you know, browser stuff and talk and remember cameras. Anyways, so I needed to get that back up. There we go. Variety reported on this. It was noticed, noted on Reddit, things like, An American Pickle, remake of The Witches, Super Intelligence, all, labeled as Max Originals, no longer on there. None of this removal was announced. Moonshot was removed after only, 3 months. So it's, who wrote this? Cam or you? You did.
I did, yeah.
Why aren't you talking about it, man? It's highly speculated that this could all be part of Warner Brothers taking things off to eliminate streaming content obligations. And yeah, that's kind of that whole idea. Like you said, maybe they're going to have a new stream, you know, bring back HBO Now or something like that. I don't know, man. Well, what do you think is going on with it?
That in particular is not that big of a deal. It's just the way it was done. We watch properties get taken on.
Oh, yeah, off, yeah. It's not a big deal that they're taken off. It's the, like you said, how.
Yeah.
Seems so suspicious on what the motive is.
Yeah, because they're all HBO original pieces. It's kind of like why are you doing it this way? And just the way, you know, some of those movies got taken off. And that actually makes a little bit more sense to me as far as, all right, we're going to take these off and now we can, in a sense, rent them out to other streaming services as you know, they do all the time with like mm-hmm. Harry Potter. I mean, Lord of the Rings. I mean, come on. Everybody knows how annoying it is sometimes when you go on Netflix and try to watch something. And then it's like,
it was
like,
there yesterday.
It was no, there. Where is it? And it's like, oh, it's going to actually be on Peacock for the next 3 months. And you're like, oh, well, okay, you know, whatever. Harry Potter was like that for, I don't even know if it's still like that because it was on Peacock and it's back on HBO Max and back on Peacock. And it was just like, why? And I mean, but it's because you kind of rent them out for a while. But yeah, there are streaming obligations that you have to pay in order to mm-hmm. run certain things. So if you start taking away these things, then you don't have to pay them anymore.
Yep.
That makes a little bit more sense to me because then you can take those properties and, you know, like I said, rent them out or, you know, have them on another streaming service for a while if need be. So yeah, it's strange. It's just strange to just start seeing these things be eliminated, and it'll be interesting to see what more gets eliminated because, the general feeling and then so there's some numbers from different polls that have been taken that, you know, as far as satisfaction goes, HBO Max is near the top. It's not like it's a bad streaming service that people don't like. People like HBO Max. They have a lot of good stuff on there, a lot of quality yeah. stuff on there. So like, I mean, just we're talking before the break, it kind of really doesn't make any sense why you would gut it up when it's doing so well.
Unless, go ahead.
I mean, I understand that you inherited a debt from the guys before, but that's not really the problem of HBO Max, is it? I mean, and I would argue you should take off some of the crap that you have on Discovery because not some of it is it's not very good. And I really thought that these two would mesh very, very well just because of difference in content, right? There's you have your paranormal stuff, you have your cooking network stuff and HBO had even tried to do a couple of things like that with like Selena Gomez and stuff, which was kind of fun. But to just say like HBO Max is like, it would be like irrelevant and we could just write it all off or, you know, sell it off, however you want to call it. It just really doesn't make any sense. And it just, I can just see that people, in my opinion, are looking at it just zeros and ones and really mm-hmm. not anything else.
Yeah. Well, there's two types of people in business and you need both equally. You need the numbers people that they're cold-hearted, logical. It's not mean. It's just business. And you need that person to tell the other type of person, which is the one that thinks about relationships, relationships with the consumer, relationships with the creators, with the cast and crew in the case of entertainment and manufacturing, the you're talking about the relationship with your workers, and they need to talk to each other. The person with the emotions and the more personal investments needs to occasionally hear from the cold-hearted person, dude, if you do this, we can't continue to do all the other good stuff. Like, this one good thing has to go. It has to. Otherwise, we can't do 10 other good things. Unfortunately, sometimes, and especially like in the case of Bob Chapek over at Disney, you get a numbers guy talking, and that's never good. Trust me, as a numbers guy, it's not good for us to talk like that to the public.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You don't get it. We can't do this. Here's the numbers. I don't give a, you know, get out of here. No.
Yeah. And then everybody goes, you're fucking Disney. What do you mean you can't do that?
But again, I'll point to like, well, yeah, they don't have to, but what's going to change it? Like, one, you're not in charge of Disney, so you can't fire anyone. Two, Disney's not democratically elected, so you can't vote anything out. Like, and no one's going to legislate Disney's, you know, leadership. So again, like when people complain about it, it's like, where's the solution? Like, one of the biggest solutions is support what you like. If you like something, spend money. I'm not telling you if you're broke, you're destitute, you're between bread and a freaking movie ticket, by all means get the freaking bread. But in general, ladies and gentlemen, you have to pay to get things. It's not free to make stuff. that's just but see, I'm a numbers guy.
Yeah, but the thing I would argue on behalf of DC fans is that they don't give us the opportunity to.
That's true. Actually, that is true. Well, I mean, they did do some opportunities in the past, but you are right. They often get scared of their own projects.
Yeah, they react so violently to Marvel, which always boggles my mind because it's not Marvel. It's so different. Just look at the Joker project, for example. It's not the sequel. The one they already released. It's so different. It's so I mean, I'd argue Peacemaker too is the same way. It's so different than anything that they're doing on the other side that it's accepted, it's beloved, and even it's recognized. Like Joker, for example, has 2 Academy Awards. Because it's a lot more artistic, and for a minute they were really allowing their creative minds to really start creating, you know, more than just your cookie cutter film like they do at Marvel, which I'm sorry, it's what it is, because you have to follow this certain plan to reach a certain point. You have to keep it all within a certain limitations, which is fine.
Cookies are delicious.
Yeah, no, they're they're great.
Until you've had too many Marvel.
Well, the thing is, and then you get projects greenlit like Eternals 2, and you're like,
wait, what?
Why? Like, no, yeah. Nobody asked for that.
Literally, nobody.
And then, I mean, it's just funny. What makes me laugh is everyone, everyone, just kind of brings up the joke that, you know, we can't get Batgirl in any sort of medium, but yet we got Morbius in theater twice. Maybe we should sell off DC.
We can't talk about Sony. Those guys are stupid. They're making
Madame
Warner
Web
Brothers
right
look
now.
Well okay. Adjusted. I know, right? and with rumors that we're about to get yet another version of Peter Parker, but we'll see.
I mean, it's just mind.
It is a multiverse movie.
It is interesting just to see how companies do things very, very differently. And,
it is,
and it's, you know, while one is just, you know, really just thriving and just doing the same thing over and over again because it's working fine. You know, McDonald's is the same thing; they're still selling burgers. And you can get mad at them all you want, but you're still going to go back. And then another company just can't figure it out. They're like the Long John Silvers of movie making. That's what WB is right now. It's because it keeps switching ownership. Like, I mean, just it's just and then I don't even know what to call Sony. They just I don't know, man.
Idiots, you guys. And I say that as a person that has PS2, 3, 4, but I hate Sony Entertainment.
So let me ask you one quick question. And I know it's a little off topic. We haven't talked in a while. Did you watch Resident Evil
on Netflix? Series? No, I have not seen it yet.
You've seen the memes. You've seen all the memes though, huh?
No, actually, I have. Okay. It's been memed.
Oh, woo! There's... man, it's just I love Resident Evil so much. I love it so much, but I don't know what happened. There's
because it actually looked fairly promising versus the Raccoon City movie.
It looked very promising. Yeah, hell, it like the whole thing looks as far as I feel like graphics and everything goes for a Netflix series. I thought it looked great. When they started off and there's like a giant bug in the beginning, I was like, you know what, that looks pretty good. And then they started talking and not talking, and it just got weird. Man. It got really weird. So
that's awful.
Yeah, I mean, that just sucks. I just I don't know. I feel like I'm getting robbed of all of my favorite things. Maybe I should just watch anime, but then again,
That's what you should. Whoops, that's what you should absolutely do, man. Like that's why I don't watch a lot of live action stuff these days. Quite honestly, because so many things have turned into disappointments. Even shows that I was really into recent seasons weren't necessarily the best, or because so many. Second, third, or fourth, whatever season sequels seasons have been bad. That even the ones that I haven't seen yet, I'm afraid. Like I haven't watched Umbrella Academy season 3, Lost in Space season 3. Didn't finish Lock and Key season 2. I think that like I'm almost afraid to watch live action shit these days because so much of it has been disappointing or just straight up bad that I'm afraid. Like I just want my good memories because as soon as I watch something, then that's it. It's canon. Like I can like Jammer always likes to talk about just enjoy a movie for what it is, like say the Last Jedi, because in his mind, even though it feels completely disconnected from everything else, considering what they did with Rise of Skywalker, especially, I'm like, I can't ignore Rise of Skywalker. That exists. I saw it. It's freaking canon. It's there, right?
The Last Jedi.
But if I never watch anything, then
nothing else is ruined. Horrific movie. You can take out an entire piece of that movie, and it's still the same movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was. I don't know, man. That was bad. I mean, out of the three, Force Awakens was acceptable, and then everything else just...
Yeah, but it doesn't hold up. And with knowing that it's part of a trilogy, and that's the thing, is it's just like the Marvel Phase 4 stuff. It's part of this universe. If it doesn't fit well, if it doesn't connect well, it doesn't matter how much you might enjoy the part. It belongs to a whole. You know, this isn't the past where it was like you could judge, you know, Spider-Man movies by themselves, the X-Men movies by themselves, you know, only to each other because it was two different studios, two different universes. They weren't connected. But Star Wars is completely different. If the pieces aren't fitting together well, it hurts everything else because you know where that story is going or where it came from. And
you know, remember, you know, once upon a time, they were supposed to be getting away from the Skywalker saga.
Yeah.
And
a long time ago.
Yeah.
In a galaxy far away. They discussed doing that.
And they never did. They to this day have not left the Skywalker saga. And maybe I don't think they ever will. But next time. Yeah, no, there's, I mean, there's decades of shows that I know I can't, and I hope I'm wrong, but Rogue Squadron is not going to be good.
I honestly think I can't say, but I'm scared shitless because Patty Jenkins is not a good filmmaker. By her own words, she said she did not have as much control or influence on Wonder Woman 1. She said the studio, Snyder, they had a lot more to do with it. She said Wonder Woman 84, she said that was her baby. She claims everything. They let her do whatever she wants. Those are her, I'm paraphrasing, but she's on records saying that she had control. She made choices. That is her movie. That's why there's two full-length intros to that movie. And when she said that after I had seen 84, I went, oh my God, don't let her make Rogue Squadron. Anyways, guys, that's going to do it for today's show. Head over to LRMonline.com every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. We have celebrity interviews over at the LRM YouTube channel, so subscribe there as well to the Genreverse channel. All of our written reports and opinions on news, we've got reviews, leaks, rumors, all sorts of stuff going up. The podcast, you can click on those wonderful icons there, or you can go to your favorite podcast app to get great shows like Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, which does Marvel news, rumors, and reviews. Star Wars news, rumors, and reviews are on the Cantina. We have anime versal reviews, as well as Breaking Geek Radio, which is kind of like a long form of this news of the week and discussions. And but they talk forever. It's a lot of fun though. I produce the show. Watch it. All of the podcasts go up on the YouTube channel, as well as the Genre Shot trailer reactions. And yeah, do all that. Like, share, subscribe. We've got social media information on the screen. If you're watching us, or in the description boxes below. Manny, anything else you want to say?
No, I think I talked too much.
Hopefully next time I can remember to use the fancy camera 2 button, as I like to call it. All right, guys, we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice of the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.